Luke chapter 10 is the text. Let's talk for a little bit about decisions we make and whether or not Jesus would be defending our decisions. If you read the text itself, it's in chapter 10 of Luke's gospel. Verses 36 to 42. But if you've got that and you're looking at it, first look at chapter 9, verse 51. Because chapter 9, verse 51 sort of sets the scene. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. What's he going to Jerusalem to do? Going to Jerusalem to die. That's where it's all going to culminate. And so he is on his way there to do that. That's where we are when we find him at Martha's house in chapter 10, verse 38. And this is how it reads. As they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, and here it is, probably every one of us could quote this, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." I have to confess to you, not because I think it's right, but just because there's a part of me, a very strong part of me, that feels really bad for Martha. I mean, this was her house. She was trying to be hospitable, trying to make everything just right. You know what it's like when company's coming over? You want everything to be just right. You clean things up. You get things in readiness. You go to the store. You buy stuff. I don't know what kind of time Martha had to prepare. Maybe this was spur of the moment. I could imagine that happening because I don't know if Jesus had her cell number, could have called her or texted her on the way, but, you know, those kind of things weren't going on much in those days. And maybe he just showed up, and here they are, and she's trying to run around and get things ready to serve people. Whatever it was she was doing, what word did Jesus use to it as we have the English translation here? You are worried and bothered about many things. I don't take this as Jesus criticizing Martha. I don't see him giving her what for, so to speak, trying to make her feel bad. I don't think that's the point. But what was his point? He talked about what Mary chose. He said, you're cumbered about with a lot of things, and maybe he would have followed that, which I understand how that is for you, but here it is with Mary. She has done what, did he say? She has chosen the good part, and that will not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus didn't tell Martha, you need to quit what you're doing. Come over here and sit down next to your sister. Do what she's doing because she's doing the right thing and you're not. That's not what he said. He just said, you're worried about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part, and I'm not going to take that away from her. It's interesting how this whole thing plays out. And some of it is left to our imagination as to what Jesus was thinking and what was happening with Martha, but we know what he said. He was talking about Mary's choice. Now, just imagine, if you can, we try to do this, we try to imagine. You're Jesus, and you're on your way to Jerusalem, and you know what's coming. You're going to be crucified. It's going to be awful. It's going to be horrible. And so while you're on your way to Jerusalem, you're stopping to talk to people about the kingdom of God. It is, I don't use this word very often, but it's paramount. What does paramount mean? That's really important. It's really important that people understand about the kingdom. and get an idea of what the kingdom is all about. He's going to Jerusalem to die to establish the kingdom of God. This has been in prophecy for years, for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, ever since the Garden of Eden, when God talked about Satan bruising Jesus' heel and Jesus bruising Satan's head. This has been in the works, and now it's about to happen. And here's a young woman who was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, and Jesus said, I'm not taking that away. Now, do you remember, those of you who were in the Philippians-Colossians class, what did our discussion center around for a couple of weeks? From Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, said Paul was speaking to some women, and what was Lydia doing? Lydia was listening. And what does it say the Lord did for Lydia because she was listening? You can go there and read it. Acts chapter 16, verse 14 said, he opened her heart. And it doesn't say anything more. I'd like to have some more explanation. There's another verse that Marty wants to have. He doesn't need it, obviously. If he did, it'd be there. But she was listening, and the Lord opened her heart. And I think that's what's happening here. Mary has chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. I don't know if she felt like she probably ought to be getting up and helping her sister. I don't know what was going through her mind, but I know what she was doing. And it's interesting to me that Jesus, without incriminating Mary, or incriminating Martha, rather, defended what Mary was doing. And so when I read that and I think about that, I think, what kind of things do I do that Jesus would defend? Because that's what's happening here. She's sitting at his feet, listening to him, and Jesus defends that as a good thing. That's the good. Mary's chosen the good. Do I choose the good? And if God were to look into my life, if Jesus were to come down and walk with me for a day, oh man. Except you know what happens every day? He walks with me, and he walks with you. He's with us all the time. And I just wonder, what kind of things am I doing that he would either defend or maybe not? I think about the kind of people I spend my time with. Would Jesus defend the friends that I choose to be around? The people I associate with? My chosen circle of companions? Would he defend the ones I hang out with? Now, I got to be really careful here because I'm with the staff a lot. A couple of secretaries, a couple of other ministers, yeah. Got a tech guy in the back. We hang out sometimes and talk. It's great. But I think it's important to think about who we hang out with, especially when we're not at work, when we've got time to hang out with whoever we want to hang out with. What about our pastimes? Would Jesus defend our pastimes, how we spend our leisure time? Now, I'm not looking to dig up trouble. I'm just looking at Mary's situation and thinking, well, Jesus defended her in what she was doing. What would he defend for me? How do we spend our time when we have time to spend? It's not obligated somewhere else. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Would Jesus defend the way I treat other people? Would he defend the way I speak to others? Would he defend the way I think about other people in my mind, even though I might not say things? And I know you can't always control what's going on in your mind. I'll say it before. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm really thankful that God does not design that those little signs pop up over your head like in the cartoons and say what you're thinking. Aren't you glad for that? If that ever became true, I would have a campaign to stomp out literacy so nobody could read what was going on in that bubble up there. But even if I'm thinking one thing, how am I actually behaving? Because your behavior is really what matters. You can change and gauge the way you think. How about my work ethic? The way I apply myself to things that I need to be doing. Would Jesus approve of that? Would he look at the way we do that and say, hey, that's good. Keep that up. I like that. Reading material. I got a list. I mean, if you don't read what you watch on TV, what you watch on computer, how much screen time do you get? It's becoming more and more of a thing that I notice. You know, we've had a couple of beautiful days here in the last 72 hours or so. It's been really nice, and I see people out walking more. But this is how they're walking. Where did I put it? I don't have my phone, but this is how they're walking. Got the dog on the leash, and they're doing this. And, beautiful sky above, everything's lovely, and this is how they're living their life, walking the dog. Or they're with their children. Children are playing, and they're just sitting there staring at the phone. It's like, have we turned into a bunch of phone zombies? I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just asking a question. Would Jesus defend that? I guess it depends on what we're doing on there. The words that I speak. Would Jesus defend my words? And obviously there are specific words we shouldn't use that are not glorifying to God. But it's not just the specific words, the vocabulary itself. It's the topic of conversation. And the kind of things we choose to talk about. Would Jesus defend our conversation if he were to listen in on our conversation? Because he is. As a matter of fact, he said in another place, every word you speak, you're going to give an account for in the day of judgment. I don't know if there's a scarier passage in the New Testament than that. And we're asking the question tonight, would Jesus approve of those things? How about just my attitude? Just my outlook and my attitude. Would Jesus defend that for me? I don't know. I know he saw what Mary was doing and he defended her attitude. And I want us to go back a little bit, now that we're thinking about this, whether or not Jesus would defend us and our things, because he hasn't defended Mary. Go back in the text and look at a couple of things first. Look at chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. Luke chapter 10, 23 and 24. Turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them." Back through time, prophecies had been made about a coming kingdom, about a covenant that would be made. Jeremiah talked about that in Jeremiah 31:31. Daniel spoke of the four kingdoms that would rise and fall, and in the time of that fourth kingdom, the kingdom of God would be established. The mountain of the house of the Lord would be established in the top of the mountains, and the word of the Lord would flow forth from Jerusalem. All these prophecies about the coming Messiah and the coming kingdom, people were looking forward to that and wondering, what is this all about? And now it's happening. It's being fulfilled before their eyes. And Mary is living in this time, and these things that prophets and kings... Jesus says prophets and kings were wanting to look into these things. They were not able to because it wasn't happening in their time, but it's happening in Mary's time. And Mary is sitting at the feet of the one who spoke the universe into existence. Now, if you don't think Mary, or Martha rather, has much faith in Jesus, if you think that might be her problem for being cumbered about with many things, as the King James puts it, New American Standard says, bothered and distracted. They go back to John's Gospel, chapter 11, and read about where Lazarus died. Lazarus was the brother to Martha and Mary, and Lazarus died. And Martha said to Jesus, "Man, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." That's the faith she had in Jesus. But and even so, she said, "You can bring him back from the dead if you want to." Now, she says that, but then they get to the tomb, and what does Martha say there? Well, it's been 4 days. My beloved brother is probably pretty right. But Jesus asked her a question. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. You believe that? She believed it. So we're not talking about a woman who lacks faith. Just talking about two different sisters in two different circumstances. This was Martha's house. She was trying to make good as a host. Mary, rather, was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's what she chose. And she chose what kings and prophets have been looking forward to seeing and wanting to look into all this time. Peter talked about that as well. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about the things that angels long to look into. And if this doesn't give us a sense of appreciation for the gospel and what we enjoy today, I don't know what will. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. By the way, where was Peter? You think he was there at Martha's house with Jesus as they were on their way to Jerusalem? I think maybe so. I think he heard what Jesus had told him prior to that, that kings and prophets had wanted to look into those things. They hadn't had the opportunity. But this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that should come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. You and I are enjoying the heyday of spirituality that comes with Jesus, the Son of God, Lord Messiah. We are sitting in the kingdom. Remember what Jesus said of John? John was great, but he's not as great as those who were least in the kingdom. And that's you and me. We're in the kingdom. That's what Mary chose on that day. Things were coming to a head. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And Mary chose to sit and listen to him. It might sound bad for Martha, but I think she got caught up, just like you and I might in a similar circumstance. But I like that Jesus pointed out that what Mary chose wouldn't be taken from her. Now, there's still something else in the context I want us to see, because Mary made a choice, and there were other choices being made. In chapter 10, let me get my glasses adjusted here. Chapter 10, oh my goodness, there it is. Chapter 10, verse 25, right after, I've even got that written down there. A lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what's written in the law? How does it read to you? Have you ever thought about that question? How does it read to you? In other words, Jesus was asking this man, what do you think about what the law says? He didn't demand that the lawyers sit down and shut up and listen to him because he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But the lawyer asked a question, and it wasn't even a really sincere question. Why does it say he was asking the question? He asked the question testing him. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus turned it back. What's the law say? How does it read to you? The man has the opportunity to think through what he believes about the law and make a statement based on what he believes, to make a choice, to make a conclusion, and to speak that conclusion out loud to Jesus. And so he says in verse 27, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That's what he chose as his answer. And what did Jesus say about that? He said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and live." Now, if the man had stopped right there, everything would have been great. He could say, "Hey, Messiah agrees with me." But then it says in verse 29, wishing to justify himself, oh boy, here we go. He said to Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" Now, if it had said, wishing to learn the truth more intimately, then we could appreciate what the guy was doing, the question he was asking. But it doesn't say that. He said, wishing to justify himself. He said, "Who's my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, and then he tells a story about the Good Samaritan. Man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among robbers. They stripped him, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Who comes by? A priest comes by. Does the priest help? Priest didn't help. Goes by on the other side. Who else comes by after the priest? A Levite comes by. Does he help? Doesn't help. But a Samaritan. Verse 33, a Samaritan who was on his journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. That's what the Samaritan did. Now, we're talking about Mary making a choice and Jesus defending her choice. Now I think Jesus is putting before this lawyer and those with him another choice. Can you see through to believing that someone you hate, because typically the Jews hated the Samaritans, despised them as half-breeds, could you see through to someone like that being the one who does the right thing? Can you see through your bias, see through your prejudice? In verse 36, after telling the story, Jesus says, which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the other one, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And notice carefully the response of the lawyer. How does he answer? I think we still see his bias in the answer. He doesn't say the Samaritan fellow. He says the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus didn't correct him at this point. What did he say? He just said, you go and do likewise. You do the same thing. And later on, there's going to be a young woman sitting at my feet, listening to what I'm saying, and I'm going to defend what she's doing. Somebody's going to want her to do something else, and I'm going to say, no, she's chosen the right thing. I'm going to defend her doing the right thing. And I want that to be my life. I want to be so about doing the right thing that Jesus would say, you're doing good, Marty. You're doing good. That's a challenge. But I think that's the one laid before us in these things tonight, in all that we do. Well, that's the lesson for tonight. Thinking about Mary and Martha, those two sisters, and the choices they made, and Jesus defending Mary's choice. Not saying anything bad about Martha, but rather defending Mary's. And I want him to defend my choice. So I know if I want him to defend my choice, I need to make a choice that it's in line with his will. And obedience to the gospel is the first thing. And after that, keeping the family name clean. You ever talk to your children about the family name? We got a good name. Keep it. Keep it. And that's what we do as Christians. Once we become Christians, we keep the family name. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement and invitation. And if there's anybody who needs the prayers of this congregation tonight, or anything you need to talk about in any way, shape, or form, you got some shepherds here. We'll be glad to visit with you. So let's stand and sing the song of encouragement. Bobby?